What's going on, folks? You've stumbled across the Kingdom Driven Daily Podcast. I'm Isaac Hanekamp. I'm sitting down here with Derek Ward. Derek's a new buddy of mine. I actually met him through the Instagram account. He just created a sick workout program for me that I'm actually starting next week, so I'm looking forward to doing that. Derek, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone?
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Isaac. Thank you for having me on here, man. You know, like you said, my name is Derek Ward. I'm from Connecticut in the U.S. over here. Got connected with Isaac through the Instagram app. You know, it was pretty interesting one day on his Instagram story. He was asking anybody who needed prayer requests to reach out. I reached out, and now it's flourished into, you know, a friendship through Christ, man. And you know, like Isaac said, I'm a performance trainer as well. Created a sick workout program for him. So I'm excited for him to get started through that. Hopefully he can get some strength from God himself. So really excited. Thank you, man. Pleasure to have me featured on here.
Yeah, I'm pumped to ask you some questions and get some answers. So I guess first things first, why don't you just talk a little bit about your performance training? And because I know that's been a big part of your life personally, now you've launched this new business. Why don't you talk about how you've gotten to this point deciding to launch your business and why you kind of feel this was the right time to do that and why you felt the Lord calling you to do that now?
So it's interesting, man. You know, I'm sure we'll go into it on how it led me up to have the faith to really step out of my career and pursue what my passion was. But, you know, I graduated from Amherst College last year and was, you know, so head on heels to get into commercial real estate and get into, you know, business and, you know, make a ton of money and thought there was a ton of opportunities and success in that field. And then once I've, you know, kind of gone through all of that, I've been in the field for a year now. You know, about 3 months ago, about 9 months into my career, I just felt, you know, the Lord calling me onto something greater. I feel like my passion was performance training youth, you know, high school, college, professional players one day and using that passion and that fuel to also spread, you know, the kingdom of God and continue to spread my faith and my motivation onto other people. So, when I got to a point where I knew that he was calling me into that field and use the talents, and the blessings that he's provided me with, you know, I had to take that leap. And at first it was very scary, man, you know, to be in a career that's very stable, to be in a career where you kind of know where your life is set out for the 5, 10, and 15 years, you know, it's kind of all set out and it's been very comfortable to have this position where he's like, hey man, I want you to completely get out of your comfort zone, completely turn around your life and change your career, and go into this thing that's not guaranteed. And I feel like he's just, you know, I'm sure we'll get into it, but he's prepared me for that leap, you know, over the past 6 months to step out into this field that I love and I love doing it every single day. And it's not easy, but, you know, he called me to it. And since then, man, he's provided every single thing that I could, you know, possibly imagine. And every single day is a learning experience. And I'm super excited to get started. And next week I'm doing it full time. Going into a facility with a partner of mine, and man, I can't tell you how excited I am to do this, man.
Yeah, I can imagine, man. I'm excited to see what God has planned for that business. It's interesting because every time you and I have chatted about it in the past, that business always comes back to ministry, and I think that one of the things I'd be interested in hearing you talk about now, and I'm sure other people would as well, is how do you intend on making that business a ministry, and how do you intend on ultimately advancing the kingdom with that business in the future?
Yeah, absolutely, man. The more I grow and the more that, you know, my social media grows and the more that, you know, I entertain the idea of apparel and the more that I talk to athletes on a daily, weekly, monthly basis is the more that I try to pour, you know, God's kingdom out on them. You know, one of the things that we all deal with in sports and being an athlete my entire life is there's a lot of ups and downs, and there are a lot of times where you might expect you know, a situation, or you might expect playing time, or you might expect to get to a certain place that you want to go to, and things don't pan out. And it's, as an athlete, man, it's an emotional ride. And I want to be able to build and grow this business, man, to a point where it's recognized, where everybody kind of knows this performance training model, but also use it as an avenue to get more athletes on board to having faith, you know, and finding that, you know, no matter their circumstance or no matter what position they're in, whether their dream is to go to the pros and it doesn't pan out, or, you know, they want to go to a D1 college and they end up in D3, or say they're, you know, next year is going to be their year and they end up breaking a bone or getting severely injured. You know, there's times, you know, there's a reason why you know, for instance, like Ronda Rousey, when she lost her first match, why she was talking about how she was severely depressed, you know, and how she, you know, entertained the idea of like taking her life, because it's, you have these expectations, you have this idea and plan set out for your life, and things don't pan out. You know, if we can get more athletes on board to having faith, and, you know, the younger generation, you know, have faith, you know, you could see the culture of athletics get to a different point. And, you know, I was in that position when my senior year of high school, man, I was, you know, my senior year was gonna be my year. You know, I had trained for months and months, you know, I didn't play basketball, you know, ran a little bit of outdoor track, but was training, you know, 5-6 days a week, had all these different types of trainers and coaches, and was going to these camps and combines and trying to get recognition, and was climbing through the ranks, you know, to be a recognized athlete in the Northeast. And first week of practice of my senior year, I broke my ankle, you know, and it brought me to a point where I was like, wow, I trained and I invested so much time and so much effort and money and sacrifice into getting to my senior year and getting to that Division I level that I wanted to go in, you know, for all to be taken in a second, you know, in a rep in my first week of practice. And that brought me to an emotional state, man, where I was like bawling my eyes out every single night, because I just had this idea and picture for my life and where I wanted to be, and it was all taken. But man, the first thing I thought of when, as soon as that happened, I told my dad, I was like, Dad, we need to go get Pastor Dominic. I need prayer, man. We need to pray over my ankle. And man, let me tell you, I was back in 6 weeks. They told me eight. I was back on the field, and the first game on, played this team that was really great in our conference, one of the best teams in our conference, you know, and came out and threw three touchdowns and had an amazing game. And that set me up to have more opportunity, man. If it wasn't, looking back now, man, if I didn't go through that time and that emotional state of having, you know, my thought on, oh, I want to go Division I at high level because, you know, one day I want to play professionally and I want to do this, this, and that. God was sitting here like, hey, man, I have a different plan for your life. You might not know it yet, but I'm going to take you through this journey, you know. And from that, after I graduated high school, I ended up going to a boarding school called Choate Rosemary Hall, where I did a postgrad year over there. And let me tell you, man, I met so many people, had so many people to network with, and so many experiences that I've never experienced in my life, had an amazing time, met a lot of amazing people. And I think back, like, if it wasn't for that rep when I broke my ankle and I went through, you know, those 6-7 weeks of severe sadness and anger and bitterness, you know, only to humble me, to, you know, to for God to humble me and say, hey, man, like, you might, you know, be this cocky and confident and think that you're going to go Division I. I'm going to humble you and show you ultimately what I have in store for your life. And from Choate Rosemary Hall, that's where I ended up getting the opportunity to go to Amherst College, which is, you know, a very great educational school, amazing resources. And when I got there, again, met a lot of amazing people, had an amazing experience, amazing education, and found a brotherhood on my football team. For the first time in my life, I really felt I was part of a brotherhood where everybody had the same mission to win championships, you know. And then went there for 4 years and won 3 championships, tied my freshman year, had 2 undefeated seasons, my sophomore and junior year, and then senior year wasn't the greatest year, but it was just an amazing experience. And I think back again, like, man, if it wasn't for that day I broke my ankle, to me, go through that humbling experience, it wouldn't have set me up for all these blessings that God had in store. And then that's where I got my internship at a company called Boston Properties in real estate, and then ended up getting my ultimate career that I thought was going to be my long-term career at CBRE, you know, a large commercial real estate firm. And let me tell you, man, like, I felt, you know, God was, you know, setting me up for all these blessings to come. And I was working for this huge corporate, you know, company, the largest commercial real estate services firm in the world. I thought I was going to be a broker and make all this money and be so successful. And God was like, hey, man, again, I'm going to bring you through a humbling experience and show you ultimately the plan that I have for your life. And then I'm like, oh, man, like, I'm going to leave all this. I'm going to leave the city of Boston that I love to go back to Connecticut. I said I was never going to go back to Connecticut. I said I never was going to go back to over there. And not, like, look at me now, man, I'm moving back to Connecticut. And it's just opening up my heart and my mind up to say, like, God, I give it all to you. And I think back again, like, man, if it wasn't for that time that I broke my ankle, like, it wouldn't have set me up for all these blessings that he has in store. So I ultimately want to be able to share that message with a lot of athletes and say, hey, man, like, you, it doesn't matter what you may think that your plan and your life is set out. If you're not giving it to God, ultimately he's the one that's going to be in control, you know. And there's a culture around athletics, you know, me being in college, you know, I grew up in the church. You know, when I was about 14, 15, we started really diving into church. My parents started being committed and going every day and partnering in the church. But I was a little removed. You know, I wasn't really totally bought into the Christian life. And when I had my opportunity to go to college and now everything's on me, I fell into the trap of trying to fit in, you know. I wouldn't say fit in, but being a college football player and thinking that with that came, like, you have to party, you got to drink a lot, you have to talk to a ton of girls, you got to be the man, like, you got to have this big ego. And we were a very successful team, and I fell into that trap of hey, man, like, you know, we're just going to have fun, and we're young, and we're athletes, we're ball players, like, this is what we do, you know, we're cool kids. You know, I fell into that, and over the course of 4 years, man, you know, it takes a toll on your spiritual life. There was no spiritual connection, and you know, me and my boy would go to church one time per school year, and that was Easter. You know, even though every single day, every Sunday, we're like, hey, man, we'll go to church today. He's like, oh, man, like, I'm a little hungover, like, oh, tired. He wouldn't go, you know. So I want to be able to expand my training to athletes and to not just be physical training, but also train them to have faith, you know, and have strict, you know, morals and strong character and live a life that's led by Jesus, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, and also educate them and provide them with academic opportunities and be a full individual, you know. So it doesn't matter whatever they go through in their athletic career or what they might go through at school or different changes in their life, they always have the foundation back to God and back to, you know, their spiritual life. So I'm hoping, man, to grow it. Like, I really want my training and you know, what I bring to the table to blow up so I can just further his kingdom, you know, and just further share his good news, you know, to people out there that who need it. Because there's a lot of people out there who need it, you know, and it's easy to fall into the trap. It's easy, more and more we see on social media, to try to live up to others' expectations and fit in and look cool on the gram, you know what I mean? And yeah. So I'm trying to make it more mainstream to spread my faith and try to get more people on board, man.
No, for sure, man. What's funny to me is, and people like yourself, it's so evident when I see the timeline laid out of how the Lord caught their heart, and it's so evident that we can't outrun his grace, man, as hard as we want to.
yep.
He's always revealing himself to us in one way or another, and I think it's interesting how many times it takes us, man. Like, I probably heard three or four scenarios there where you caught yourself putting your identity in something else that wasn't Christ. And and along the way, man, like, looking back on my own life as well, there's so many times there where it's like, man, in that moment I felt like such an idiot, like looking back at it now, and it's like you get this glimpse of perspective all of a sudden about what matters, yet 6 months later you might catch yourself putting your identity back into that job again. And and it's funny, man. I'm really glad and happy to see how the Lord's kind of pulled you out of that, and it's pulling all of us out of that every day.
Absolutely.
So I find it interesting how through all of those circumstances and all of those learning opportunities, you've clearly been placed with the beginning of this new business to influence a certain crowd now and lead a certain crowd of athletes. And I think that you probably would come across as a very relatable individual, not only as a athlete now and a former college athlete, but as a believer and somebody who's been in those shoes, and it's evident that the Lord's transformed your heart. Like, what would you say? I guess I kind of explained it there, but if you were to define that person that you feel called to lead now and you feel the Lord leading you to lead, who would that be, and why do you feel that is right now?
I would say that the type of person and the type of crowd that I want to be able to lead is those types of people that, although they know their identity and they know what their you know, they know what their interests are, they know what their character and morals are, let me restart.
Okay.
The type of people I want to be able to lead and the crowd that I want to be able to lead are those individuals that, although they know where their character and where their interests are, you know, and where their moral values are, they try to dabble and they try to experience other things, thinking that that will please them. You know, I say it a lot on my social media page, but it's temporary happiness. You know, it's those types of individuals that, although they might have a foundation or in the back of their mind, they might know what's right, but they want to go experience to see if there's something else out there that can please them better. You know, I would say that there was a lot of times in my life, looking back now, where I knew ultimately what was best for me, but I wanted to follow the crowd and do what others were doing that were popular. You know, mm-hmm. it's trying to fit in with that popularity and what people will look at you to say, oh man, that guy's so cool. That guy's killing it and crushing it. You know, that guy, look at his crowd of people, you know, they're doing big things. They're so popular. Yet, and behind the scenes, you're like, man, like I know that this isn't right. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's fun, because it gets me friends, because it makes me look good. You know, and that's not ultimately right, you know, and that's immaturity at its finest. So I want to be able to lead and motivate those people that can step out and go against the grain, you mm-hmm. know, that they can be leaders and not followers, that they can do what's different and socially unacceptable. You know, being at a college, instead of going out and drinking, you know, a ton and trying to talk to a bunch of girls, you know, they have some faith. You know, they have some, you know, moral values that's going to say, hey, man, like, I'll go out, but, you know, I'm going to hold myself to a different standard. And I hope you guys can get on board with that, you know, and be able to make those hard decisions to know if they're in toxic relationships, to step out and say, hey, man, you know, you guys are great people and everything like that. And I'm going to pray for you and we're brothers in Christ. But, you know, this is not the right environment for me. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and to
sure.
be able to be able to do that at a college or university, you know, when you're in an environment around peers that may be leading you down a different road, it's a very hard thing to do, man, especially, you know, when you're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, to have the maturity, you know, and to have the you know, confidence and ability to step out and go against what others are doing or socially acceptable, to step out of that and say, hey, like, I'm going to do something a little different. And it may cost me some friends. It may cost me some, you know, so what I think, what worldly pleasures are. But, you know, I'm going to have faith that God's going to provide, you know, better things for me. You know, there was a lot of times where I was caught into that trap of a lot of worldly pleasures and temporary happiness and trying to fit in with the crowd and be that dope dude and turn up and get lit, you know. And yeah. In the moment, you know, that was a great time for me. You know, I was like, oh, this is so fun. But it was temporary happiness. There was mornings I would wake up and feel despair and sadness and not really know what it was. And that was because I had no spiritual connection because my spirit was empty, you know. My spirit was empty in that. And although on the outside it was cool and fun, there was always something there that was missing. There was always something that was like, man, like, I just don't feel right. I'm having a great time and this is fun. And I'm, you know, going and doing all these amazing things at school, but there's just something there that's missing. And I can look back now and know that if I would have made some of those leaps to go against the grain, man, like there would have been, you know, a lot of different circumstances and different experiences. But that's my testimony, man, is be able to share those with people and say, hey, like, I've been down that road and here, let me show you, you know, what it can ultimately lead to. And that's despair and destruction, you know. You know, going through college, I had a girlfriend, you know, for about two to two and a half years. And we were in a very serious relationship. You know, that was the love of my life. I thought it was, you know, I thought that was the one that was going to be, you know, we were going to get married. Like, this was the one for me, you know, for 2 years in college. Like, that was the one, you know. And then I graduate, you know, and still with her. And but still, I was living in the world. All my pleasures were turning up and getting lit and going out with my boys and trying to hold myself in this different light than what I knew was right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that ended up leading me to losing that girl, you know. You know, I went on vacation one day and I was disloyal to her. Nothing got physical, you know, thank God, but I was disloyal to her. You know what I'm saying? There was other interests and pleasures down there that I thought, you know, were cool and fun and let me do this because that's just what we do when we're young and I'm not getting married yet. So, you know, forget it. Like, I'm just going to do it anyway. And that ended up, you know, ultimately losing the girl, the one that I thought was going to be, you know, the one for me, the one that I thought God ultimately put in my life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what all those years of turning up and getting lit and going through the college experience of partying and trying to hook up with girls and go through all those worldly pleasures, man, that's what it led to. It led to despair and destruction because through that experience, dude, that was the first time I would say in my entire life, you know, losing that girl, like that one, losing her was the first time in my life that I was brought to a mental and an emotional state that was nothing I've ever experienced before. You know, I was a very, you know, stubborn person. I'm sure all my friends, anybody listens to this can attest to this. I was a very stubborn person. You know, there was times I was very prideful, you know, very, you know, there's a time, you know, you'd be confident, but I was very prideful. I thought I was the man, you know, you know, that's just how I rolled, you know, and that was the first time that God brought me to a place that was like, I'm going to break your heart and I'm going to crush your spirit so I can finally get through to you, you know? Like one of my mentors says, you know, God ultimately knows all of us individuals. Like when people say like God knows you, it's because he knows you before like you even knew yourself, you know. And he knew it was going to take something really big for me to finally like finally lose that stubborn nature in my heart. And when I lost that girl, man, let me tell you, like it for months, you know, I was crushed. I was crushed in spirit. God brought me to a place where he could work on my heart, you know. And in the moment, like it hurt, man. There was physical pain. I was crying every single day, you know, for weeks and months on end. And then on top of that, my parents' relationship were going through it. You know, they didn't know if their relationship was going to last. And then on top of that, my older brother was sad. You know, he was going through stuff in his life. He was crying. You know what I'm saying? And all this amounted to all just being placed as a weight on my shoulders for God to look down and say, son, like, I want to get through to you. Like, this is what needs to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And through all that, man, like the only thing that I could do, the only security that I found was getting on my knees and giving my life to God, man. Like going through all of that for 2-3 months of severe sadness, being depressed, like, and I would say depressed, you know, because I know there's a lot of people out there with severe depression, but a severe sadness, you know, bring me to that point, that low point in my life, that mental, you know, emotional state for God to say, like, will you come back to me? And that's where I found, you know, that's where I found God and found Christ. And that's when, you know, I decided I was going to get baptized. And when I got baptized in December, man, it's like God just, he changed my entire life, man. He really did. He changed everything for me. And coming from the past that I come from and being that person who was, you know, in the middle of the crowd, the one that was the most turned up, the one that was trying to, like, you know, in the parties, throw the bangers on, you know, and be that dude that had, you know, the very, you know, the cute girls around me and stuff like that, to bring me to a place where it's like, hey, like, I love God and I want God to lead my life now. You know, it's a complete 180. And that's the story I want to bring to people, to say, hey, man, like if you want to go down that road, you can go down that road. And for a while, you may think that you're in a very great place. You know, for a while, you may think that you're very happy, that everything's going right. But there's going to come a time, you know, if you're living in the world, it's going to lead to death and destruction, because that's not of God, you know. And that's what it brought me to, man. And, you know, unfortunately, me, you know, and that girl, we you know, no longer together. But through that, man, she got saved as well, you know. And her father got saved too. And that was really big.
Oh, that's cool.
You know? And then through that, my older brother, who was removed from the church as well, he found a church back home. And now he's in church. And now he's providing testimony to me. And then from all of that, my father and my mother's relationship is stronger than it's ever been. You know, they found their way back to God. And then from all of that, man, me and my father are the closest. You know, I'm 24 years old. Me and my father are the closest that we've ever been in our lives. We've been able to have conversations with each other that we've never, ever in my life have been able to have conversations like, you know. And that brought us back to a place where it's like, man, like God is now the center of our home. And what did all that take? It took months and months of severe sadness and destruction. And for us, brought to a low point in our life where we thought in the moment, like, man, there's no way we're getting out of this. You know, for a long time, I was like, I just don't know. I can never be with anybody ever again. I can never find another girl. I can never, you know, be the happy guy I would be. You know, there was a lot of toxic, you know, friendships, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm still in great contact with those guys, but I was like, man, I'm never going to find like Christian brothers again. I'm never going to do all these things in the moment, you know? And then God was like, son, just come back to me and I'll provide everything you need. And when I did that, man, and I got saved, provided everything I've prayed for and just had faith. You know, and it's not easy, man, but the times that I was brought to a low point and just said, God, like, I give it to you, man. I give it to you. You're in control. Like, I have faith. He's provided. And sometimes it's crazy how fast he answers your call, you know?
Yeah, man, we underestimate how fast God can work completely.
He works completely, man. And that's kind of just like the testimony that I have and want to be able to share with other people and say, like, if I see individuals that I'm working with or training or mentoring, you know, with my business, to say, hey, like, you're going down this road and I would like to show you and tell you that that's not the road you should go down, because it may temporarily maybe for a couple months or a couple years, it may temporarily make you feel really good, but it's going to lead to things that you don't want to see happen. And the only way to prevent that from happening is to find God, man, and live your life with faith and a spirit that's strong, because he'll provide everything you need and some more. You know, God doesn't just give us a little bit. Like, he has plans to prosper us greatly. We're his children, right? And that's what I love about his promise, man. So It's been definitely a difficult road, and it's still, you know, still I learn things every single day, but I wouldn't give it up for anything at all, you know.
Yeah, man. I love chatting with you, Derek. I think you have an amazing story. At the end of the day, sometimes the only thing we have left to use is our story and how God's brought us out of darkness and this place without him. And I think that yours is definitely evidence of him working in your life like crazy. We've run out of time here now, but I almost wonder if once your business gets going and everything like that, we should maybe have you back on and you can share how God's been working in your business. Dude, thanks so much for opening up like that. You got pretty deep.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And it's my pleasure, man, to be in contact with you and see how God's been able to use just social media to get other brothers in Christ, man. Together, man. It's amazing how you work. So I appreciate it, man.
So, bro, quickly, before we go here, how can people find you? And I guess that they'd go to your personal Instagram account, not your business, eh?
Yeah, yeah. So if anybody out there is listening, you know, you can find my Instagram at dward, W-A-R-D, performance on Instagram. And if you guys are going through anything, you need someone to relate to or talk to, man, you can jump in my messages and DMs. And I would love to speak to anybody out there who just needs another brother in Christ or someone to talk to or needs prayer, man. Like, that's really what I use my social media for, my influence for, is to get other people in Christ that need it, because that's been the pillar. That's been the foundation of climbing my way out of the worldly pleasure hole, man, is guys like you and people to reach out to speak with. So, you can find my Instagram, dward performance, man.
There you go, guys. An open invitation to slide into Derek's DMs.
Yes, sir.
that's hilarious. Anyways, bro, yeah, thanks so much for the chat. I'm gonna jet now. But yeah, guys, anyone listening, just remember, you are loved. Have a blessed day.